Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We'll touch on some of those things that was read to us. But as we go through it, we'll try and make sense of what it means to handle pressure. That's what we want to talk about. How do we handle pressure? You know, there's an old story that's told of a man, an elderly man, who was traveling with a boy and a donkey. As they walked through the village, the man was leading the donkey and the boy was walking behind. And the villager said to him, "Why are you walking? Why don't you sit on the donkey and get a ride on it?" And so the old man said, "You know what? Okay, I'll listen to these villagers." And so he sat on the donkey and started going to the next village. When they came to the next village, the people said to the old man, you're so cruel. How can you let a young boy walk behind and you sit on the donkey? You should let him sit on the donkey." And so the old man obliged. He said, okay. He put the young boy on the donkey and he got off and he started walking and going along. When they came to the third village, the people accused the child of saying, "How could you let this old man walk?" And so they said, "Why don't both of you sit on the donkey?" And so the old man thought about it. He said, "Okay, fine." And so they both got on the donkey. In the fourth village, the townspeople were indignant and they said, "That's cruel. How can both of you sit on the donkey, this poor donkey?" And so this frustrated old man finally, last, was seen a little bit later carrying the donkey himself because he succumbed to the pressure that came upon him. And it's a silly story, but it's what pressure does to us, right? It makes us do bizarre things sometimes, even strange things. We respond when pressure comes against us. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that because we all deal with pressure all the time. And it can show up in different ways. Your work, your studies, your relationships, family, money, bills, peer pressure, expectations of people, deadlines, pressure, pressure, pressure. It's always coming on around you. In the passage that was read to us from Philippians, we saw that Paul, and you're familiar with Paul, was urging the recipients of his letter to be joyful always. You read that, right? Be joyful always. And he says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, you know, give thanks to God and then pray and supplicate God. Now, what's interesting is that Paul was writing from where? Prison. He was a political prisoner, not for anything that he had done that was wrong, but he was in prison. And from prison, Paul is writing to the recipients of Philippi, and that letter is to us today and to all other churches, to rejoice in the Lord, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. He talks about rejoicing, not succumbing to pressure. It's the opposite, isn't it? When pressure comes, we don't rejoice. We become sour, we become angry, we become upset, we become dull. We don't know how to respond to pressure. And so Paul says, rejoice rather than succumb to pressure. And some people are like that, if you've noticed. They simply seem to be able to handle whatever pressure comes at them, or at least they don't show it. It's not a problem, you know, they just sort of carry on with things. And you've got to ask the question, you know, what makes them handle pressure? What makes Paul able to handle this pressure? There's three pictures that I think are really helpful when we think about this. You probably heard the saying, like water off a duck's back. You've heard that saying? It's an English idiom. Basically, when if you've noticed that ducks, you know, they fish. So they're able to swim into the water, dive into the water, catch whatever they have to fish out, and then swim right up out of the water. How is it that their feathers are not soaked with water? It just falls off them. And the interesting thing about ducks is that they have a gland. It's called the preen gland, and it secretes an oil that covers their feathers. So when they go into the water and come out of it, the water just flows off. The oil doesn't allow the feathers to absorb all of the water. And so we say, like water off a duck's back. And some people, they handle pressure like that. It's like water off a duck's back. Another analogy is of fish that swim in the ocean. You all like fish? I like fish. Surmai. pommes frites. Now you're not thinking about what I'm saying. You're thinking about lunch. I know it. But we used to do that. Sunday afternoons, we used to come back from church. We'd stop at Gujarat Fisheries. Every Sunday when I was a kid, and my mom would buy surma and we'd go home and she'd make fish curry. Okay, now back here. Focus, all right? But one of the things about fish is, and these are sea fish, right? Is that you have to add salt in order to taste it, to get some taste out of it. You have to add salt. And you have to add salt to fish that have lived all their life in salt water. So interesting that they're not salty naturally. You've got to add the salt in. You see, the skin of the fish is insulated in such a way that it keeps the salt out. So they can swim, they can survive, not a problem. The salt never gets in, so to speak. Another example, one more. You think of the Navy, you know, when they build submarines. And I think I've used this before, so you might be familiar with this. They build these massive submarines. They are engineering marvels. Everybody is working on them because they have to go to, you know, under the water to a certain depth to be able to handle the millions of tons of pressure that comes against them. And if they go beyond a certain depth for which they are built, the hull of the submarine can simply crumple in because of the enormous pressure that comes across it. What's interesting is that we put so much into building these massive underwater vessels, and they go into the water, and then there's a tiny little sea creature, a fish, that's swimming in the same depth, absolutely oblivious to the pressure. Same pressure, no problem for the fish. And I use that analogy also because the fish is built structurally different to be able to handle, God made it to be able to handle that kind of pressure. So you get the point, right? All of these three examples are examples of the way things function to be able to handle the environment in which they live. What about us? We live in a pressure environment. Life is pressure, pressure, pressure. Even more, we love technology, but technology has only made it only increased the pressure. Years ago, you would write a letter and send it. It would take a week to get there, and then a week's response to come back. No problem. Relax. Today, you send an email, and 5 minutes later, it pops up on your phone, and you got to work on it, right? Pressure. And there's so many other examples of the kinds of pressure we face. So how do you handle pressure? Well, some people get angry. They get angry. Some people become depressed and they go into a shell. Some people eat food. That's how they handle pressure. They just eat food. They snack through the day. It helps them keep calm. Some people shop. You like shopping? Some people shop. Shopping therapy, we call it. Let's go out for some shopping. Let's ease the mind off. The other pressure is the bills that come later on after the shopping. It's a different kind of pressure. Some people smoke. Some people drink. Some people are workaholics. They just work endlessly to be able to cope with the pressure that's coming upon them. So how do you handle pressure? And I want to give you three steps very quickly, briefly, about how to handle pressure. Firstly, you want to expect it. Expect it. Don't live in a state and say, you know what, it's not going to come. It's not going to happen to me. You've got to expect it. And that's a huge part of understanding, especially in the Christian life. As we think, and I'm talking, I think, to believers over here, we sometimes might have the sense that, you know what, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm a Christian. I'm somehow insulated in a way. But you want to expect it. You want to be prepared for it to come. Otherwise, when it comes and you're not expecting it, you're caught by surprise. And so 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this. It says, no temptation or trial has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, whatever happens to all people happens to you as well. It's just the way of life. Everything is like that in the fallen world that we live in. And until Christ comes back and we're in the new heavens and the new earth and the kingdom of God is established, we're going to face pressure. And it's going to be hard at times, more difficult. You know, when soldiers train for battle, they don't necessarily want the battle, but they train for it so that when it comes and if it comes, they're not caught off guard for it. They're ready for it. They're alert. They've got that training that will help them get through that difficult situation. And so you want to expect the pressure. You want to be able to be ready to handle it when it comes and not be surprised and say, "What's happening to me? How could I go through this thing? Have I done something wrong? Is this wrong? Is that wrong?" No. It's some of it is just normal life stuff. Expect it. If you expect it, you're able to then begin to say, okay, it's come. The bill has come. Don't go into hyperventilation and, what do we do? What do we do? No, it's come. Now handle it, right? So expect it first. Secondly, you want to evaluate the situation. You want to evaluate the situation. So much of what we do is reactive. Reactive. And often out of control, reactive. And God has given us a will to act appropriately when things come our way. We can stop and think and evaluate a situation before we react. Listen to what James says in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. He says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And what he's telling us in this is, when stuff happens, be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. It's usually the other way around. We don't want to hear, but we want to respond, and we say things without thinking about them. And what you want to do is to pause and evaluate the situation. Listen carefully. Think before you respond. But I want to just say one thing also over here. And I had mentioned this, I think, a couple of weeks ago as well. So much of our life is very instinctive also. You can't think about almost every moment, right? So what needs to happen is something even deeper. It's about a cultivation of a heart. It's like the soldier preparing for battle. If you are not regularly cultivating your heart in the presence of God, thinking over the character of God, the nature of God, the word of God, when things come your way, you're going to respond out of the flesh. And the flesh, our flesh, is fallen and it's sinful. And it's always going to respond in sinful ways unless we are training it. We're bringing the flesh under our control, under the control of the Spirit, so that we respond in godly ways. And you're not going to have opportunities. Many things will come your way. You're not going to have opportunities to stop and pray about it. You're not going to have those opportunities. You're just going to respond. But if you cultivate a heart that is Christ-like by spending time with Christ, by being dedicated to His Word, by meditating on His character day after day after day, that's going to change you. It's going to change you for sure. Think about your best friend, right? The people you maybe spend most time with. Maybe your spouse even. After a little time goes by, you begin to talk like them. You begin to think like them. You laugh at the same things. There's some sort of a way in which you're more alike than you are unlike each other. It's the same thing in your relationship with Christ. If you walk with Him, you're more like Him than you are unlike Him. And we'll talk about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in a moment. And so what you want to do is evaluate. Expect it. Evaluate the situation before you respond. And then thirdly, you want to entrust yourself to God. Regularly practicing these things is going to help you deal with pressure. You want to entrust yourself to God. So Paul writes in that same verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, "No temptation or trial has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted or tried beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." What a fantastic thing that is. God knows the limits of your endurance. And he will take you through difficult times because he's doing something to shape your character. But he knows the limits of that. And when it's at the end of it, he'll provide a way out of escape. You need to take that way of escape, but he will provide it to you. I'm reminded of, you know, what Peter says about Christ and the way the Lord Jesus handled pressure. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to that. I think it's good for us to just look at that and think about the person of Christ and the way he handled the pressure that came at him. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 21 to 24. Here's what Peter writes. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." What an amazing description of how Jesus handled the things that came at him. And he says it for it to be an example to us. As much as he's our savior, he's also our example over here. When they reviled him, when they mocked him, when they beat him, how did Jesus respond? And we're going to talk about this in Passion Week and Good Friday and Easter. But how did he respond? He didn't revile back. He didn't do what he could have rightfully done and call down a legion of angels and destroyed his enemies. And he would have been absolutely just in doing that. But he didn't do it. Instead, the scriptures say, like a lamb that was silent before its shearers, so was Christ silent before those who came to accuse him and beat him and mock him. And why did he do that? Because he continued entrusting himself to his Father who judges justly. That's the crucial part over here. He said, "I know I've come to do God's will. I'm expecting this situation. I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm trusting God as I go through it, as difficult and as hard as it is." Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says, "Lord, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." This wasn't an easy cup to bear. It wasn't at all. And yet he was able to go through it because he trusted his Father in heaven. You know, when the bills come and the difficult relationships come and the work pressures come and the demands come and the expectations of people come against you, entrust yourself to God. Entrust yourself to God, his will and his purpose for your life. Entrust yourself to God in a way that says, "Lord, I can't handle these things. But I know you can handle these things. So help me trust you. Help me walk in faith before you. Help me entrust myself to you." Remember the duck that has that special oil that insulates itself? Or the skin of the sea fish that keeps the salt out? Or the tiny creatures in the bottom of the ocean, or the depths of the ocean that have some structure in them that can withstand that pressure. They have something special, each one of them, that helps them deal with the pressure. And I like what Paul says, because I think he's got it. He says that at the end of Philippians chapter 4, the passage that was read to us, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Paul's secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And just before that, he says, I've learned the secret of contentment. I've had times of plenty and I've had times of nothing. I'm sitting in prison now, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's his secret. That's his oil. That's his way of being able to withstand the pressure that was coming up against him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What about you? Can you do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Do you know this Christ who strengthens you? Are you walking with him? Are you trusting him? Are you reading his word? Are you talking to him so that you know him and then are able to do all things through him? Oh my goodness, if only we as people understood what we have in Jesus more and more, we would be less harried, less anxious, less worried by the things that life throws at us. We can just go through life and handle pressure like water off a duck's back. We'll be able to do it because of Christ who strengthens us. I'm going to give you a moment to just quietly pray, and maybe this morning there are things that you are dealing with, enormous pressures that nobody knows about, but maybe your family does, maybe nobody does, but God does. Maybe it's too difficult and too painful to even begin to express, but God knows your life. He knows the limits of your endurance. And he wants to strengthen you. He wants to enable you to be able to deal with those things that come your way. And so quietly put it before him. Say, Lord, help. Give me the grace to handle it. Help me to know your wisdom and your counsel for this situation. Help me to know and understand that you will never leave me or forsake me. Help me to have the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ working through me. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning. And even as we go back and think about life and all that's coming our way, we can learn from Paul, and we can learn especially from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to follow after your example. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.